truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Charlotte 911, Bellamy, do you need police, fire?
I would not bet she's suing for divorce. Because if she's suing for divorce...
The report says Hayden then snuck into a neighbor's house through an unlocked front door.
I would not bet she's suing for divorce.
Yeah, we feel that it's still within the car constitutional rights.
Burn in hell.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, where reality is the bitch, the news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Through the looking glass we go, where we tell you not only about what's happening in the world, we tell you about you. Coming up this hour, the white majority will end in America by 2050, according to a recent demographic study, and a divorce may be in the future for Tiger and Ellen. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, as we like to remind you. Each and every hour, if you are not aware of this, you can be watching our show as well as listening to it. All you have to do is go to our website, philhendryshow.com, and you can watch our live streaming video, and you can listen to our live streaming audio, and you can also access a list of our affiliates all across the country. And also, we're very, very happy to announce that our site is has undergone a redesign and is going to be way easier to navigate. We're also going to have a live news feed on our new website, which will enable us to stay in touch with you guys during the day when the show isn't on, by way of video, by way of photographs, by way of blogs, and you'll be able to check in and comment with us as well. So, you know, the world, man, time waits for no one, baby. This is the new age of the new media, and we're right on top of it on this show. You can also go to Twitter at twitter.com/RealPhilHendry. Mr. Raj Fanin, an Egyptian businessman who does a lot of traveling between our country and Egypt. He is a resident here in the United States, and he joins us on our newsmaker line tonight, talking about a lot of different things, about the changing cultural face of America and this demographic study, Mr. Fanin, about the white majority. First of all, best of the holidays to you, sir.
And to you. Thank you.
And... have you seen the study? I know that it was one of a variety of news items that you and I were talking about.
Well, I saw it say, you said it's a demographic, because in the middle part of this new century, that there is going to be more non-white people in this country. And this is a good day. Well, you say a wake-up call, you know.
A wake-up call for who?
By that I mean a wake-up call for this country, America, to recognize its cultural reality. This country is not going to stop being America, but the different culture and the different people. And the way that the country... it's going to change, you know.
Now, you're a Muslim, correct, sir?
Yes, sir.
And do you see the country changing religiously?
Oh, yeah, sure. I see the country is going to change religiously, as you say, because this lady, I saw this news that she wants to bring a Christmas carol back into the schools.
The lady in Redding, California?
I don't know if it's in Reading, but this lady wanted to bring a Christmas carol back into school. And I read this story, I thought, to say the phrase, she doesn't get it. You know, you can say it's time to bring Christmas carol back into school, but really the time now is not so much to bring a Christmas carol back into school, is to bring more information and more celebration of the... a different kind of religion, Islam, to put Islam more equal footing, you know, with Christianity.
Now, you know Mr. Fanin, you know the sensibility of our country, and the feelings have been very strained at times between the traditional American community and the Muslim community. The Muslim community that we've become aware of. I know that we have many native-born Muslim people, but people who have emigrated here. And is it time, really? Is this a good time to be advocating Islam and Christianity being on an equal footing?
Well, this is a good point, but you must always remember. As my son, Todd, who is my son, he's born here in America. But he tells me, says that Muslim people have suffered great deal since 9/11, you know, because everybody is so I don't believe it is. He's suspicious of us, you know, and everybody is thinks we are terrorists. And there's great deal of suffering. To make up for this and to prepare for this time when the white people, the European American, is no longer in the majority, is to begin to take those first steps in equalizing these religions, you know.
So the Muslim people of America have suffered a great deal since 9/11 because of their being indicted as terrorists, being profiled.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So a way to make up for that is to begin to equalize the two religions. How do you go about doing that in a way, though, that doesn't offend Christians?
Well, not to offend Christians. I don't know if you can, but you have to show these Christians, look at this new story. This is America in 2050. There is not as many white people as there was. There are more people of color. This means there is going to be more diverse, religion, you know, in the country. And so, you see, I don't know how you feel about raising up Islam so that they has equal treating with the Christianity. You see?
Yeah.
But you must do it. You must. You must do it because the white people are going away, and there's going to be, my son, this is the browning of America, you know, this is the browning of America, you know, it's a play on words, but the country is getting darker, and that means more religion, you know.
But you don't hold out any olive branch to Christians to say, Islam has to be on more of an equal footing?
No, the olive branch, I don't know what you mean, olive branch. To say to them, Islam, when you sing a Christmas carol, you must have Islam, too. When you talk of Jesus, you have to have Islam, too. And you say, Islam, is there an olive branch? And the Christian say, we suffered greatly since 9/11. And I don't want to say, you know, but you know what happened.
I'm sorry?
I don't want to say, but you know, things happen, you know. My son, he says, I can't use the word, don't look it out, I'm choosing.
No, things happen.
Things happen, yeah.
Well, what does that mean, things happen? In other words,
The white majority is going to end in America by 2050. You know that?
Yeah, I know that. You and I were talking about the story. But when you say that you want Islamic religion as a result of the white majority going away to be on more of an equal footing with Christianity in America, and if it isn't, things happen.
No. I do not say it is. I said it must be. Well, there must be a equal footing of Islam with Christianity. Or, you know, they say all bets are off. You know they say.
I know the saying, all bets are off, yeah.
All bets are off, yeah. My son said, Todd says, Islam must be equal to Christianity or zero. Katie barred the door, you know.
Well, sir, when you use phrases like Katie bar the door or all bets are off, those are, in our society, in our culture, they sound like quasi-threats.
No. It's like, I use the word bastard. You and I have spoken many times that bastard in America is a negative. But in my culture, if you say this bastard, it means just this guy or this woman, you know. Like, if I said to you, the white people in America, these bastards are going to be in the minority I'm not saying they're bad people, and it's just a trade.
Yeah, but when you say the white people are going to be in a minority in America by 2050, these bastards are going to be in the minority, it's taken as an insult.
No, but once I explain to you, my son said, what part of it's not a bad word don't you understand?
I understand that it's not a bad word to you. I'm just telling you that when you say by 2050, these white people, these bastards are going to be in a minority, people think it's a negative.
No, I understand that. I understand that. I'm sensitive to that. But we want all Muslims to be treated equal to Christian because the white majority is dwindling and we're going to take over and not take over the government, not take over the... Not to disassemble democracy. No, no, no. America is a great country for democracy. A great country, but we take over in the culture, and so I don't think you understand how poorly we've been treated since 9/11. A few people die, and I know they died at 9/11, and suddenly all Muslims are terrorists. We are coming to the U.S. in great numbers, and, like Todd said, you have to, you've got to do what you got to do, And,
well, there you go again. Katie, bar the door. You got to do what you got to do, and all bets are off. Sound like threats.
I have to say, you must be easily offended people. I don't mean a threat.
Well, what does that mean? I mean, you say that the Muslims are going to be in the majority,
No, I didn't say a Muslim. I said a non-white.
All right, non-whites are going to be in the majority, but that means that Muslims should be treated equally, or you got to do what you got to do.
That is saying... It's a threat, but not a threat like a bad threat. It says you got to do what you got. You got no choice. That's what I mean.
And you don't think that sounds threatening?
No. These bastards, again, I don't mean that negative, but these bastards who think white culture is going to rule the roost, it's not going to happen, And so.
And so European Americans just better get ready with treating Islam on equal footing with Christianity. Well, I can tell you that even though there may be a minority or a African-American or Hispanic majority, many of those people are Christians.
Well, a lot of them are Christian, yes, but also a lot of them are Islam. So you're going to have more Islam, and so you got to do what you got to do. It's like Todd was saying.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. I want to get that study out, too. I want to get the story out. 877-876-PHIL. We'll take some of your phone calls for Raj Fanin. He is a businessman living here in the United States, talking about the prediction that by 2050, the white people or the European Americans of America will be in the minority. And that means that it is time to begin to treat Islam and other religions on an equal footing with Christianity. Or you got to do what you got to do. And I haven't clarified that. 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
You gotta do what you gotta do.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
Hello. All right. I didn't hear anything. There's nothing coming from Medford, so you might want to turn the music up at some point. There you go. That's great. Anyway, welcome to the program, guys. As you can tell, we've had a myriad of technical problems in our first 20 minutes, but we're on, and we're happy to be on. On what? You've got to find out. No, we're on the air.
Yeah, drug reference.
It's not a drug reference from the standpoint that we use drugs. We don't use drugs, and we disdain the use of those, except for medicinal purposes. We're on our program here this evening after a 20-minute Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, and most of the nights from 10 o'clock on the West Coast or 1 a.m. on the East Coast. We're going to be talking here in a moment. I don't know whether we can get him on the line right now. Daryl Ripa, who is going to talk to us about our radio show. Daryl is the program director of one of the stations that we had been on, that we are no longer on. And he's going to talk with us about that. I think it's going to be an interesting, perhaps enlightening discussion. Why the Phil Hendry Show, which is a is in its own way a unique product, why our radio show constantly gets muscled by these, conservative talk shows. I got nothing against conservative politics. Nothing at all. I got nothing against liberal politics. Well, I do. I've got probably more against liberal politics than I do against conservative politics. But what I do have something against is our radio show constantly sucking you-know-what for these conservatives that they keep pumping out one after the next. As if people want to listen to it, which they don't. Not to the tune of the numbers of shows that we've got. So we're going to talk about that. I don't know how much time we have. Daryl Ripa is his name, a program director. What's the station, bud?
You get the call letter. It's a station in, Minnesota.
In Minnesota, okay. So we'll talk with Mr. Ripa as we continue our program this evening. We're also going to be discussing, other things that are in the news here this evening. We've got, I think we're going to have Steve Bozell on talking about the Chaz Bono Dancing with the Stars appearance, and we'll give a little of our, extemporaneous view of the news and just other things like that. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, by the way, 877-876-7445. I think we got Doug Danger, who will be also reporting on Dancing with the Stars and the Chaz Bono appearance on Dancing with the Stars, which has everyone talking because Chaz Bono used to be a woman and is now a man.
Yeah, and I've been telling people about...
Get closer to the microphone, will you?
I've been telling people that, you got to call him he,
Yeah, but it's difficult to break the habit, is all.
Have a little bit of respect and learn how it's done and learn how life is conducted in these here United States. And it's a Mr. Bono now, and that's just the way it's going to be, see? So that's why, have a little bit of respect.
I know, but I got to remember.
Why can't you remember, man? You look like a guy.
Yeah, but still...
No, you're just being a jackball, okay? Mr. Bono, not Mrs. or Miss.
What about little Miss? Or...
I'm going to, because I know when you're kidding and you're not funny, and I'm going to belt you. All right, so we're going to have a little bit of that. Dave Oliva also will be on to talk with us about the Jay Sano Citizens Auxiliary Police recruiting drive and how that's going to possibly impede Los Angeles Police Department recruiting, which I certainly hope that it does not. 877-876-PHIL is the number, 877-876-7445. So, Daryl Ripa with us. Daryl, how are you?
Well, Phil, I'm really great, and I'm glad to have this opportunity to speak with you on your program tonight.
Well, thank you for talking to us. You carried my show on your station for how long?
I think we had you on here for about 4 years.
And how did we do?
You did very well for us, Phil, very well. We understand that your program was different from the other programs that we ordinarily would carry. We had...
What were the shows that you had?
Well, we still have Glenn Beck, and we've got Clark Howard. We've got a conservative talker named Neil Bortz from Atlanta. We have had Bill O'Reilly. We don't have him anymore. And Rush Limbaugh. So you
have a collection of hosts that are either political talk, or in the case of Clark, it's what would you call that?
Well, it's consumer talk.
Consumer talk. Okay. So in the middle of all of that, political talk and consumer talk, where was my show?
We were on late night, Phil.
Okay, I was on late night, and you decided to move my show out of there for another political talk show.
Was what was indicated for us because we've got an election cycle coming up and we really wanted to make sure that we covered the elections. And
all right, so why did you have my show there in the first place?
Well, because we thought it was funny. We enjoyed it. It's a very unique presentation. Our audience seemed to enjoy it.
All right, so you had the show there for 4 years and then you decide to move it because of the election. I don't get it.
Well,
all right, hold on for a minute, Daryl. Okay, we'll be right back with you here. See, this is me. I'm going to grill this program director. We'll see whether or not he comes up with the right answers. 877-876-PHIL. I don't care whether they're good or bad, but they need to be truthful. 877-876-7445. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. The Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Well, welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And what we did is we got in touch with Daryl Ripa, who's a program director of a station that used to carry our show in the great state of Minnesota. Daryl, you and I were talking about the fact that the show, my show, was a great show. You liked the show a lot. Okay, and but you took it off the air because the election is coming up, and you wanted a talk show. I mean,
Well, we wanted to have a program that was a program that was going to be more politically oriented that people would be able to enjoy, and to that extent, we decided to go ahead and put on the George Norrie Show.
The George Norrie Show.
Yes, sir. And we found that that's what we want. Going into the election cycle, and
George doesn't do politics.
No, you're right. He doesn't.
George does what you know, Coast to Coast. That show does, you know, the aliens and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. And to that extent, Bill, we don't see. He doesn't do politics. He does what you do.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't do what I do at all.
Well, but what I'm saying is, he doesn't do politics. He, and to that extent, he doesn't. He does what you do.
No, he does not do what I do. He doesn't do politics, but that doesn't mean he does what I do. He does shows about, you know, whatever, intergalactic phenomenon, weird-ass stuff, you know?
Well, we like to say it's alternative information.
Okay, it's alternative information. Okay, that's great. But take away the alternative information label, and what have you got? You got a show that is a talk show, right?
Yes, of course, and that's why... We wanted to have him on because we wanted to make sure we were covered during the elections.
All right, now let me ask you a question. Do you really think he's going to do political talk?
Well, that was the problem. See, you're not going to do political talk.
No, I'm not going to do political talk. I'm not doing political talk. You're right. And I wouldn't do political talk unless it was to satirize the talk radio.
Well, and see, right there's another one. And I think this is one that your audience and the people listening should be aware of, and... Bill, there's no one that has more respect for you than me. But you know that the radio that you do is intended to mock what we do in radio. It's intended to make fun of what we do. And to that extent, it doesn't really help.
No, I mean, it doesn't help bad programming, you know.
Well, no, it doesn't help me. If I'm trying to get an audience and you're making fun of what I do... You know,
well, you know, I'm not making fun of any particular host. I'm not saying that this guy's bad or that guy's bad. I'm just sending up the entire medium of talk radio. I'm mocking it.
Right, I don't think that's a good thing.
If that's not a good thing, why'd you have me on your station for 4 years?
The reason is because we like you. And
well, no, you can't have it both ways there, Daryl. You can't say you like me and then tell me that, you know, what I'm doing, satirizing radio, is not good for radio. You got to be kidding me, first of all. I do a radio show, okay?
No, I'm not saying you do a radio show, yes, but you mock radio.
No, I don't mock radio. I mock talk radio. I mock talk radio. And,
But that's what we do, and that's what we're trying to do at our station and millions or thousands of stations across the country. To do a talk station, and
but there you go, right there. Thousands of talk stations across the country, all doing the same damn thing. So along comes Phil Henry, and I make fun of what it is you guys do, and you bounce me for Coast to Coast for George's show.
Well, but he doesn't do political talk.
No, he doesn't do political talk. You're right, he doesn't do political talk. But you said you wanted to have a show in place for the elections.
We wanted to have a show in place for the elections. And we wanted to have a show in place that didn't mock radio, but we wanted a show in place that was different.
Well, first of all, it doesn't mock radio. It is different. It's not going to be doing you any good in terms of the elections. Okay?
But I think that it's better than...
See, what you're telling me is you want to have a show that will deal with the election cycle, right?
That is correct, yes.
Okay. Then why don't you have a show that's going to deal with the election cycle? Don't give me a song and a dance about that.
It's not a song and a dance, Bill.
Well, if it isn't a song and a dance, then what are you doing putting George on there? And I, like I said, it's got nothing about you, George. You're a good guy. This is just the ridiculous treadmill that I've been on for the longest time with these stations. And let me ask you this. You knew that I was doing a weird show, right?
I think it's a great show.
Yeah. You think it's a great show, sure.
Why do you say sure?
Because I hear that from a lot of people, okay? I hear from the guys like you tell me the same thing over and over and over again. Oh, what a great show he does, you know. But we really want to have a political show, but we really want to have a this or that. Okay, now, didn't you put that Urbanski guy on?
We did, yes.
How's he doing for you?
He's doing an adequate job.
An adequate job. Did you really... I want to ask you this, Daryl, seriously.
This is a much bigger job. Have you ever programmed a radio station?
I could program a radio station tomorrow in my sleep. In my sleep.
No. I don't think you understand.
No, I think I do.
I don't think you understand what's involved.
I could program one tomorrow sleepwalking. While going and making breakfast and trimming the lawn, I could also program a radio station. Okay? Now,
well, I think that you diminish the hard work that's done by programmers. And
well, to the extent that there are programmers out there doing hard work, I don't mean to do that. Okay?
Well, what is that supposed to mean?
I think you pretty much grabbed it. Now, let me ask you about this.
Well, you're insulting a lot of hardworking people.
Let me tell you something. I bust my ass every night doing this show, and you guys tell me how great I am. Oh, but we want to have a political show, and you put on George? He's not political.
Well, we wanted to have a political show, but...
But then you realized he was available. So you really didn't want a political show. You just wanted a show that was a little more mainstream.
Well, I think that, again, you asked me about...
I asked you about this Urbanski show. How'd that do for you? That's a conservative show, one of about 9 million that we have on the radio. How'd that do?
I think it was a little bit ahead of its time. And
ahead of its time? What conservative radio these days is ahead of its time? You know?
Well,
is it still on your station?
Is what?
Is that Urbanski show? Is that still on your station?
No.
Yeah, there we go. No, it isn't. Okay. So, really what I'm asking you is just a simple thing, Daryl. You can do whatever you want with your station. I understand that. You've been very fair with me. But I got to ask you this question. When you pull my show off and you say you want politics, first of all, you know that there's millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of political shows. I mean, they're no different one from the other.
Well, I don't think that's the case. I think if you listen, for instance, do you think that they're all the same? And that was something else that we had a problem with. The fact that you would say all this talk radio sounds the same, but then here you are being original and not giving us a fair shake.
All right, well, tell me what's different about, let's say, Rush and Sean. Well, I know what's different about that show. It's the hosts.
The difference is exactly the hosts. And
one's better than the other. Rush is way better than Sean.
No, Phil. We don't see it that way. We see it at...
You know, I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Well, allow me to get a word in here, okay?
Go ahead.
We don't see it that way at all, Phil. The Sean Hannity show is very good. It's very good. The Rush Limbaugh show is the standard, and what's different about them is the hosts, but it isn't because Sean's not as good, it's that he is more, I think, engaged with the audience. You used to make fun of the meat giveaway, and you made it quasi-sexual. And
he gave away steaks, right?
Gave away steaks, yes.
All right, I thought that was very funny. Why not make fun of that?
Well,
I mean, what is that about, man? Come on. All right, so he's giving away steaks, give her a steak, whatever the hell that thing. So, all right, that's fine, but you cannot be serious if you're telling me that the big difference between those two guys is the quality of the host. Rush Limbaugh is head and shoulders above anybody else doing a conservative show.
Whoa. What about Glenn? Glenn Beck.
Glenn Beck, he doesn't even do a show. He's a two-man show. First time I ever heard Glenn on the radio, I thought it was a two-man show.
Well, it is a two-man show.
Okay, then why is it called a Glenn Beck show?
Because it's Glenn Beck, and it's another individual. I don't know, you know. Yeah.
Well, you called it a two-man show with one man name, I guess, huh?
I think, as a matter of fact, you can have different configurations of a two-man show and give it a one-man name, if that's what you want to call it. But here is what I was trying to say to you, Phil, when we were talking at the very beginning of your program.
What you just said didn't make any sense.
What was that?
You can have a two-man show with a one-man name and a
I know. It's a little bit of a programming. We can say there's two guys and it's only one guy. For instance, on your program, it's one guy, but it's a lot of guys, you know.
Okay.
So, but what we wanted to do is we wanted to put on the air good political talk.
All right, besides Rush Limbaugh and Michael Savage and Laura Ingraham, let's say, who else does a good talk show of the national hosts?
Well, I think you have Glenn Beck.
Okay, no, come on. Don't mess around, all right?
I'm not messing around.
Give me a guy that does a solo act. I mean, Glenn's great, you know, for what he is, but he's not... Glenn was phenomenal on TV.
Absolutely, I agree with you.
Phenomenal on TV. He should stay on TV. Serious. But he does a two-man show. Give me a name of a guy that does a great show.
You want the name of what?
I want the name of a host, a political talk host that you think does a great show. Other than Rush... Michael Savage or Laura Ingraham?
I think Lars Larson.
Lars Larson. Are you high?
You know, Bill, your show is nationally syndicated. You may be on some stations that carry the Lars Larson show.
Well, that'd be fine. I mean, if I was on a station that carries the Lars Larson show, that would sort of be, you know, par for the course. Which basically means is we're taking my show, which is a satire, and we're shoving it into the political talk paradigm that's been created. And not just a political talk paradigm, more and more a conservative political talk paradigm. Radio has stopped creating. All it's doing now is acting as a commissar for a certain political points of view, whether it's liberal or conservative. It is no longer a medium. It is the communications platform for ideology. And that's what I'm saying to you. And that's what your station has probably become.
My radio station is very diverse. And
what are the political stands of all your hosts? They're all conservative, right?
They are. Some of them are libertarian. And
some of them are libertarian.
That's right. That's right.
Well, what's the difference?
What's the difference with what?
What's the difference between a conservative and a libertarian, other than the fact that a libertarian can't say anything without writing a book about it or giving you a manifesto that's 85 pages long?
No, Bill. That's wrong. Neil Bortz is a libertarian. And
do you have any local hosts?
Our morning show, yeah. Cam Caminiti.
Cam Caminiti. Where do I know that name from?
Maybe a ball player. I don't know.
Okay. Is that a woman?
Yes. And she is she's a Main Street American. Okay? And
who does she support for president?
Michelle Bachmann. And
oh, come on, man. That makes her a conservative.
No. No, it doesn't, Phil. She's a Main Street American. She's liberal. She's conservative. She's everything. And
she supports Michelle Bachmann.
Yes. And we also are going to have our Right to Life rally, which the station is sponsoring. Now, all of these...
A Right to Life rally, and she supports Michelle Bachmann, and she's Main Street America.
Yes. Why do you think that is not...
But because those are clearly conservative points of view. Nothing wrong with it, man. Just call it what it is, please. What about... what's her stand on, I don't know, you know, government? The bailout, more stimulus.
Oh, there's too much spending going on.
Oh, of course.
Well, there is way too much spending going on. But that's not a conservative point of view. That's just a common sense point of view. And that's what our station, Common Sense 980, and...
Common Sense 980, that's the name of your station.
Yeah. You making fun of that?
Yeah, it sounds kind of funny to me. Common Sense. Welcome to Common Sense 980. And now more on Common Sense 980. I guess you're at 980 on the dial, huh?
No. But we were at 980, and they, because of the leasing arrangement, we had to move up to 1060, but we've kept Common Sense 980 because that's what everyone knows us as.
Well, how do they find you on the dial?
Well, we tell them we're at 1060, but The station's called Common Sense 980.
But you're telling me you're at 1060 because of...
Because that's our brand, Common Sense 980.
So if I pull into your town and I want to listen to Common Sense 980, I don't go to 980.
No. You would come to 1060, and the reason for that, and I know you're making fun, I can hear you.
There's a lot to make fun of there, Daryl. All right, hold on, I just got to take a break.
Well, I want to explain this.
All right, we'll explain it. We'll be back. There's Daryl Ripa. He's the program director of Common Sense 980, which you'll find at 1060 on your AM dial because they had to move the station because of the leasing arrangement they had. Whatever. All right, we'll be right back here as we talk with at least the program director of a radio station that decided that they wanted to put in a more political show in place of mine, George's. 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio for patriots, by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
It's Common Sense 980 at 1060. That's what I wanted to say.
Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
There's nothing to understand, but you guys, all right, welcome back here with Daryl Ripa, who's the program director of Phil Henry Show, former Phil Henry Show affiliate. We thought we'd get him on the air and find out what's this move toward more and more and more and more and more and more and more conservative radio when the audience hates it. No, I'm not wrong. I know. I've seen the audience trend. They can't absorb that much in the way of conservative think. I mean, what people want more than anything else are qualified hosts.
Well, I think we have very qualified broadcasters.
You do, and I'm not disputing that, but you have all of them are saying the same thing. And then you call yourself Common Sense 980. Now, why did you call yourself Common Sense 980 and not Conservative 980 or
because we are not conservative. We're Common Sense.
All right. Your morning show host, who is local.
Yes.
Is a woman that is endorsing Michelle Bachmann. She's pro-life. She believes in less government. Now, I don't know. I could be crazy, but that sounds like a conservative point of view.
Well, in many ways, you could say that it is. Yeah. You could say that it is. But she's her own woman. We don't tell her what to say.
No, I don't think you would tell her what to say, so long as what if she all of a sudden decided tomorrow that she wanted to endorse Barack Obama? Hold on for a minute. I want to ask a question here now.
It's not a fair question, Phil. We program a common sense radio station.
Not a conservative one.
No, we do not.
All right. Then what if your morning show host tomorrow said, I want to, you know, I've changed my mind, and I'm going to support Barack Obama.
We would not consider that common sense.
You wouldn't consider it common sense. Why?
You know, Phil, you're trying to paint me into a corner, and I'm not going to let you do it. We know what we do. You think we do conservative radio. We don't. We are a radio station that is, we see what's going on in the country, and more and more and more people are joining up with the Tea Party.
And more and more people are joining up with the Tea Party, or more and more and more radio stations are Tea Party advocacy radio stations. You see what I'm saying? There's a difference, you know.
Well, we're not a Tea Party advocacy station, as you call it. We are we're Common Sense 980.
Common Sense 980.
Right. Now, you asked me the question, what would happen if our morning show host, who is the only local host we have.
Right. And why do you, that's the only local host you have because you guys don't want to hire any local hosts because it costs too much money because you save money with syndicated radio and all the syndicated radio is conservative radio and even that's better than hiring local hosts, isn't it?
I think that's an indictment. Boy, you said a whole lot. That's a terrible indictment.
Tell me where I'm wrong. You guys put on your air syndicated product. Most of the syndicated product out there is conservative radio, but you go ahead and you put it on your station because that will save you money from having to hire a local host, right?
We put syndicated product on the air.
Is it better radio than what your local host can provide?
In many ways, yes, it is.
All right, so local coverage of a radio station's market is not as good as a national host.
That's not what I said. What I said was this. And you're very slick, Phil, with the way you put things.
I'm not trying to be slick. I think you know where I'm going here, and there's no real hiding from it. You guys save money by putting a syndicated product on the air. It so happens that 99% of the syndicated product out there is conservative talk radio, so you guys go ahead and call yourselves, you know...
No, we are Common Sense 980.
Okay, I forgot. You're not conservative. You're Common Sense. And by the way, you're at 1060, not 980.
That's correct, and we have a billboard campaign, which is, you know, you nitpick some real chicken stuff, don't you?
Nitpicking chicken stuff? How do you find the station?
When we do the billboard campaign, they'll find it. To the point that you made about the morning host, if she decided to suddenly support Barack Obama, and
what, would you hire her? Would you continue to keep her in your employ?
We would. We'd have to bring her in and find out why she said what she said. And then tell her that we have to fire her.
So that's common sense for you, huh?
Firing her would be common sense. See, that's what you don't get. Her radio show wouldn't make sense, but me firing her would.
Why?
Because I'd be able to keep my job.
Phil Hendry. Jackass. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where the truth is our bitch. And we make it yours. Well, we just did a solid hour there with Daryl Ripa, one of our former program directors, and Daryl was very sweet to us, and he said, well, you know, Phil, I mean, we like your show. It's entertaining, and we know you do comedy and satire and all of those marvelous, glorious entertainment-type things, but all of the syndicated stuff that's out there, 99.99999999999% of it is conservative talk, so that's what we're going to take. Now, when I say that, people will think, you don't like conservatives? I've got nothing against. My father was a conservative. I grew up in a conservative household. And probably, truth be told, 90% of the things I believe probably fall under the heading of conservative. That ain't got anything to do with what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is radio. Radio! Which got nothing to do with what some guy's politics is or am. So we will talk about that in the days and the weeks, or maybe not, to come. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Ted Bell is joining us from Ted's of Beverly Hills in Beverly Hills.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Hey everybody, this is Ted from Ted's of Beverly Hills, and guess what? Football in a week. You come into the prime rib room, you're going to see some slapping, some leather happen, some leather slapping.
Here at Ted's.
You're going to see some leather slapping, is what I meant to say.
Right.
And we've got a lot going on, Phil, in the prime rib room this football season. We have the NFL package, so you can come in and watch any game you want to watch. And we've got three big screens, and we have seven of the smaller screens around our billiard table. Out in the patio where our fire pit is, and, of course, the executive lounge. Come on out to Ted's of Beverly Hills. We have our slow-roasted, all-day cooked prime rib. And
you know, can I ask you a question? Because someone had told me there was a problem.
In what way?
Well, you said that you had a young man take over as chef. The all-day cooking of prime rib, people need to understand what that is.
I think people understand what it is. Well, yeah, you slow roast it. You slow roast the prime rib, and you do it at a temperature so that the meat stays tender. So you've got a nice little pink interior to that meat. And I'm that stupid, Phil. I know that every time you and I talk about this, you've got a bunch of people in your audience, juvenile, individual. They want to talk about pink in the interior and. I'm getting a little tired of the email that I get.
All right, I apologize for that, Ted, and we've made every effort that it is that you don't get that kind of mail, and I'm telling my audience that what you're describing here, I've had the prime rib at your restaurant. It's fantastic.
Thank you.
It is fantastic. It is. And the au jus, what is the au jus?
That is your gravy. That's your prime rib gravy. And we serve it with a cabbage mashed potato, a cabbage and garlic mashed potato. And tell people about that, Phil.
It's fantastic.
You were raving when you came in that one night.
The garlic and cabbage, you would never think, folks. It's a slightly sort of blanched cabbage.
Yeah, it's very crisp.
Right. And he mixes it in with the mashed potatoes and the garlic, and oh, baby, it's fantastic.
All right. So, because you were going to say something about, you know, I wanted to get some good things out about our restaurant before you slammed it. And
I'm not going to slam anything.
Well, yes, you are, because you're going to talk to me about Ernesto and what he did with the prime rib 2 weeks ago. Is that what you're going
to
say?
I wanted to make it clear with the audience, when you say slow roasted all day, slow roasted or slow cooked,
yeah,
it doesn't mean that it's going to
turn out the way Ernesto cooked it. See, you didn't really have to go there. Excuse me. You didn't really have to go there.
Well, it was an issue.
It was an issue between you and me and Ernesto and the people you were with. It didn't have to go on the radio, did it? Did it?
No, it didn't. You're right.
All right. So I might as well tell everybody. 2 weeks ago, Ernesto, who was a young apprentice chef of ours, took over because Jim was gone and so was Craig. These are both of our top line chefs, and they alternate Sundays. They were both out. So we had Ernesto, and he cooked the prime rib all day until it was black like a burnt log, is the only way I could describe it. He cooked it till it was black.
But he said that's what he thought all-day cooking was.
Yeah, well, that may be what he thinks it is, and obviously that's not what it is.
Well, who taught him?
I don't know, Phil. They said, you know, Ernesto, you have to take over. I don't know who taught him. I didn't. I didn't teach him to put a slab of meat on a spit and cook it until it's black. It was black! That's exactly what it looked like.
So were you guys, you told people you couldn't serve prime rib?
We didn't say that at all. For you got to understand, for 30 years, people have been coming to Tens of Beverly Hills for the prime rib. So I'm going to tell them what? I'm going to tell them there's no prime rib today? You better believe there was prime rib.
Did you serve them that?
I had no choice. Okay? If I say I'm serving prime rib every week...
Look, Ted, you don't have to yell.
I'm sorry, but if I say I serve prime rib every week, and along comes this apprentice chef who blackens it, I mean cooks it until it's a cinder, cooks it until it is a big, basically a charred piece of firewood. What am I supposed to do then?
And I would say to the customers, you're out of prime rib. And
we've never said that in 30 years. And let me tell you something, friend. We aren't about to start saying it. I've never had to say those words. My father never said those words. And even when the restaurant was, you know, for a very, very short time was in receivership, whoever ran it didn't say those words either.
And I didn't know your restaurant was in receivership.
Very short. Don't worry about it. The point that I'm making here is we never did that.
So you served people this prime rib?
Yes, we did. And here's what the genius of our restaurant really encapsulates, and I think that it's a lesson that a lot of people in the restaurant business can learn. We said that this was a very special day, that we were celebrating someone's birthday. I forget, we had an anniversary, and that this was a prime rib that was an aged prime rib, okay? And that the way to eat it was in this very well-done, almost charred manner. We told him it was aged. We told him it came from Kansas City. We told him we really laid it on pretty thick. And
don't you worry that the people that you serve that prime rib to are listening right now?
I don't know. I'm not worried about that.
You're not worried they're going to hear you say, we really laid it on thick, man?
No, I'm not worried about it. I'm not worried about it because I think they have to look at the... As you've often said to me, there's a very, very limited time span, a very limited attention span that people have for the radio, and I believe that the people listening to me right now, telling them that they came in and they basically ordered prime rib that had been charred black by an idiot, as opposed to something that was very finely aged beef that we served on a bed of something. I forget anything to take the attention away from it. I think we served it on a bed of mashed potatoes. No, I don't think they're going to remember.
Because they're selective listeners, and I'll tell you, Ted, whatever problems you have in business, you and I have talked many, many times that this is, in my opinion, one of the problems. You have an arrogance,
Thank you, but I don't think I called in to get any Miss Manners advice, you know.
I just think that you have an arrogance, okay?
Thank you very much. I'm not getting Emily Post from you today, Phil. No Emily Post. No.
All right. A couple of minutes here before we take the break. Let's see. My birthday.
That's correct.
My birthday was yesterday, and you and I did not have a chance to talk.
And one of the things I want to do is I wanted to wish you a happy birthday, Phil, from all of us here at Ted's. See, we don't want to argue with you. We want to wish you a happy birthday from all of us here at Ted's of Beverly Hills. I would love it if you'd come in and have a little something after the show tonight. You know, we stay open till 2 o'clock in the prime rib room. But you know what? If you get here before closing, I will keep the kitchen open for you.
I appreciate that, Ted.
I will. I'll keep the kitchen open for you. Chops, steaks, prime rib. That's what we serve. I won't have that for you. I will have, you want a steak? T-bone.
Okay, a New York bone in?
Boy, I said T-bone?
I'm sorry, a T-bone, yeah.
What is with New York bone in?
I said, that's what I had the last time I was at your restaurant. The last time I was there about 2 weeks ago, I really liked it. And
I didn't say it. I said a T-bone.
Okay, a T-bone.
And the other piece of business that I have is that the birthday cake from last year
was one of the most phenomenal birthday cakes I've ever had in my life.
I'm glad you liked it.
It was, folks, you got this birthday cake I got at Ted's last year. So we came in and they celebrated my birthday. It was chocolate, and who doesn't love chocolate cake?
And with the devil's food cake.
With the devil's food. And because I just don't like
that. Well, you know, the angel food cake and that vanilla cake, I think that's for, you know, I don't want to say it, but I think it's for guys that like other guys.
All right, okay. So anyway, that wasn't necessary.
Well, I just think it is.
All right, so anyway, guys that like other guys. It was a chocolate cake, and it had three or four layers.
It had the vanilla icing in the middle.
Yeah, that was delicious. Oh, man.
I'm glad you liked it, Phil. And you know what? I would do that for you in a heartbeat. The problem that I have is that it is a difficult thing for me to say, but you know that you asked me to bring this up with you tonight, is that you have to pay me for that. And that didn't happen. And that's why a couple of other things didn't happen this year.
I have to pay you for what?
For the cake from last year, you didn't pay me.
I thought that was a gift.
Yeah, well, I can see how you'd think that, although I had already given you a gift.
You gave me a wristband. You gave me a replacement band for my watch.
Yeah, that's a gift.
All right, why don't we take a break?
I don't want to make an issue out of it.
No, that's okay. Let's take a break. We'll be right back. Ted Bell with us from Ted's of Beverly Hills on the restaurant business, my birthday, a cake that he made for me last year at the fantastic. God, was it good. And I guess I owe him money for that and some other issues we're going to talk about here. On this Friday night here, we've had there's been a lot of excitement here, folks. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And joining us here this evening from Ted's of Beverly Hills in Beverly Hills is Ted Bell, the owner of Ted's of Beverly Hills, as we talk tonight about business there. And we always like having you on, Ted.
Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you, Phil.
Well, we always like having you on, and we always like talking about the business, and I think I know what you're going to bring up. I apologize. I didn't mean to start the program on a negative. I was really trying to start the segment with you on a positive note about how delicious your prime rib is.
But you mentioned our young man, this young man that we have, Ernesto. He is an apprentice chef. I think he's going to be a fantastic apprentice chef, by the way. And I think it hurts. It hurts me, and I think it hurts a young man like that when you say, as you did, Phil, and I know you didn't mean any harm, but when you say, well, he cooked it until it was black, And
I believe, well, I didn't say that. I believe you characterized it.
Oh, I know that I wouldn't do that.
Well,
you said that he cooked that prime rib until it was black, like a, I forget the word you used.
No, this is you talking, you see.
This is me talking now?
No, you were the one that said he cooked that prime rib until it was black. Did you not?
I don't remember. I think I just heard you. If you would be so kind as to stifle that.
What?
Well, it was a belch, and...
I heard you belch earlier.
No, I don't think I did.
Yeah, I think you did, Ted. Look, I don't mind taking responsibility.
Well, you know, I'm Ted Bell, and the reason why I say that, I know there's people listening who live in other cities. I'm Ted Bell. All right? You hear me?
Yeah.
You do?
Yes!
All right, I'm Ted Bell.
So you belch on the air?
You belched. I didn't belch.
Yes, you did, but all right. So you're Ted Bell.
I'm Ted Bell. I've got a restaurant to run. I have customers. I have a business. It's a successful business. I buy airtime on your show. I come on your show, and the first words out of your mouth are that the guy that cooks for me on Sundays, Ernesto, cooked the prime rib until it was black, until it was like a black cinder block. It might as well have been Hitler's head. Now, you didn't say that exactly.
No, I didn't. I didn't even come close to any of that. You did.
I most certainly did not.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. You call. Look, Ted, I don't want to argue.
Well, if you don't want to argue, you're doing a good job with it. I didn't say anything.
What do you mean Hitler's head?
Anything that's been cooked through. God.
Hitler. That's a really interesting analogy, you know.
You know something, Phil? I'm Jewish. Excuse me. Excuse me if that's a sore spot for me.
All right.
Excuse me if that's a little bit of a sore spot. You know, okay? Is that all right with you?
I apologize.
Uh-huh. You know, just because my last name is Bell, did you think it was supposed to be Bellenberg or Bellstein or something? Boy. Oh, man. You know, the joke that I could make there, well, you almost led me into it. Bergen-Belsen. And
I didn't lead you into any such thing. That's a horrible thing to say.
Well, you almost led me into it with the commentary that you're... what I'm trying to say here is you took exception to me saying Hitler's head. And
I'm just... What the hell has that got to do with your prime rib on Sunday?
Exactly. Exactly.
All right. Ted, I didn't... All right, so we'll just... if you want me to...
What have you got, Tourette's? God, hold on a minute. I taped that.
No, wait.
No, hold on. I taped it. Eddie, go back to 361. Yeah. Roll it. I get out of it. All right, stop the tape. Do you hear that?
That wasn't me.
Yep, it wasn't you. I had it piped right into the phone. What I'm trying to say is, Phil, you don't know what you're talking about, and that's what's causing you to have the cat-got-your-tongue problem here. You're all, and the reason why is because you are tongue-tied for making a few of these accusations. I just simply want to say that our prime rib was overcooked, yes, by our chef, and yes, he cooked it to the point of it being black and charred and worthless.
But you served it anyway.
We served it anyway, and you... bringing it up at the top of the show, I didn't think did us any good. So that's the point that I'm trying to make. That's number one. Number two is David Hall, because he was supposed to call a program, and I think he was supposed to call in here about now. He has been in our restaurant.
We got David.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Let's get him up on the line.
David?
Yeah, I've been waiting to get on the air here for the last 15 minutes, and I'm listening to the two of you guys arguing. Now, Phil, this man is a sponsor of ours, and if he said that you accused his chef of cooking the prime rib until it was black as coal, then just ride it.
Ride it?
Ride it. You gotta ride it, Phil. That kind of pain, you gotta ride. You gotta ride it.
Right, okay, fine. All right, so I apologize, Ted.
There you go. That's number one. Number two, I went into the restaurant 2 weeks ago, and I had some of the prime rib that Ernesto had cooked. And it is an aged beef. It is very dry, but it's supposed to be dry. And
what color was it?
It was black. It was black. It was cooked very thoroughly. It was black. There's no question about that. But it was delicious. The problem is, I'm on a diet. I didn't eat as much of it as I'd like, but I encourage anybody to go to Ted's of Beverly Hills and have some of this prime rib. And have you got any more, Ted?
We're sold out. Sold out.
Oh, well, that's...
Don't you get sarcastic.
No, I'm not. That's okay. Well, very good. Congratulations, Ted, on that.
Thank you very much, Phil. The other thing I want to mention, Phil, is you got to come through with this cake. It's $150 for the cake.
So it wasn't a gift.
It was a gift. Yeah, I said it was a gift, yeah. Yeah, Ted said it was a gift. Let me, Ted, I'll do this.
Okay, go ahead.
Ted said it was a gift for the purposes of your radio show, but it's not. It's going to cost you $150.
Why would he say it for the...
Whoa, what are you asking me?
He does this all the time.
Don't ask me any questions. Just write a check for the $150, please.
I'll think about it.
Wait, what do you mean you'll think about it?
That's not part of the deal.
I'll think about it. That's what it means. Thanks for calling, David. So, and put Ted on hold. This guy gave me a birthday cake, did he not?
Yeah, we got the birthday cake last year, but he didn't think you're not going to pay for it.
How do you call something a gift, man, and then I got to turn around and pay for it?
He said on a so the audience wouldn't think he's a cheap creep.
Well, he is a cheap creep if he's got me paying for the cake. Doesn't want the audience to think he's a cheap creep. What's he coming on the air tonight and asking for money for?
He thought the audience would forget.
Oh, it's... Okay, you know what? I'll pay for his cake. Yeah, just don't call it a gift.
Well, no, Mr. Bell, he wants it to go down on the record as being a gift.
On what record? There's no record here, man. He is not going to have anybody believe that he gave me a great, beautiful birthday cake as a gift if, in point of fact, I got to pay $150 for it. Unreal. We'll be back with more from Ted Bell on this Friday night, dinner night, date night, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You call me a cheap creep?
Phil Hendry. Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back. Ted Bell with us. We're going to do something that we've never done before, really, with Ted. Well, yes, we have, but we haven't done it in quite this format where we have people who've been to your restaurant, Ted, and ask you questions about the restaurant and the different things that you have there specific to you.
I'd be happy to answer any questions that anyone has about Ted's of Beverly Hills. And
all right, so we'll give our number out here is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We have a lady here in Southgate, California. Her name is Mavis. And beg your pardon. Let's get Mavis up on the line here on line two. Mavis, how are you?
I'm very good. I want to speak to Ted Bell. I've loved his restaurant. I've been to his restaurant a number of times.
Well, I'm very happy that you have, ma'am. What can I do for you?
Well, I wanted to ask about just in general, you know, the girls are at your restaurant, the ones in the cocktail lounge. I think you call the prime rib room.
Yes, our cocktail lounge, Phil and Mavis, is called the prime rib room. Have you been for a cocktail as well as dinner?
Yes, I have. I've come a number of times. I've come with my nephew. I have come with my family. I've come with my grandchildren. But I know that you have made comment about the young lady in your cocktail lounge being, I guess you say, dressed to interest the men.
Well, no, I don't know. I haven't really...
What did you say, Mavis? Interest the men?
He has said he dresses cocktail waitress so they are interested in the men.
Well, I don't think I've said that. I
think you have, because I remember on one show, you were on a Phil Hendry show, you said that you, the girls are very sexy, you know?
Well, yes, our cocktail servers are very lovely girls, but we don't have them do anything out of the ordinary. To do anything other than serve drinks. You know, a great many of the men that come into the primary room are married, and we would never do anything to compromise the integrity of these young ladies, nor would we ever do anything to compromise our customers. So I don't know what she's referring to.
Well, what, Mavis, tell us specifically.
Well, I know that when I had come in the last time I was there 6 months ago, and I love your restaurant very much. I love it. I will come back as much as I can, but I remember hearing what you had said.
Yeah.
So I took out of my purse, I had a 50 cent at John Kennedy.
No, that don't fit, another dollar.
It was a dollar. My nephew just said it was a John Kennedy dollar head. You know, the John head.
John Head, I don't know what that is.
You mean it's a John Kennedy dollar piece?
I think that was what it was.
I thought the John Kennedy... All right.
And I threw it on the floor.
What'd you do?
I said I threw it on the floor, and a girl come over, she bent over to pick it up like I knew she would. And I have to tell you this, at the time now that I'm speaking to you, there are not any underwear.
Yeah. Well, you're telling me that one of my cocktail waitresses didn't have any underwear on.
Mavis, did you point that out to anybody in the restaurant?
Well, I don't know how you're going to point that out, but I was not upset about it. I just knew that Ted Bell, I love Ted Bell.
Thank you, but I have to tell you.
No, hold on. I love Ted Bell. I love the Ted Bell restaurant very much. But I just knew, Mr. Bell, that when you said that, you know, your girl, you don't train them to be anything other than cocktail server, I knew somehow that was a lie. You know, it just felt like a lie to me. And I said to Robert, you know what I said?
Just tell him 50 cents in there. And tell that man, find out what he's all about. Wait a minute. What are you talking about? You came in on purpose to do what?
I said I came in on purpose because I felt you were lying.
Well, what do you think he was lying about?
I felt he was lying when he said that our cocktail waitresses are there to serve you and your family. All that. I thought that was baloney because I heard him the one night, you know.
Yeah, we'll do that 50.
Hold on for a minute, Robert. I already told him about a 50-cent piece. Please shut up. Oh, please shut up.
That's John Kennedy head.
I told him about the John Kennedy head. Oh, God, please shut up. Now, Phil.
All right, let's have one voice at a time.
What is she saying? And who's the gentleman in the background?
That's her nephew.
That's my nephew, Robert. Robert, just keep your mouth shut because you're confusing Mr. Bell.
I don't care about that. That man has been over. Early morning, dude.
Shut your mouth. If you don't shut up, God will be saying good morning to another black man.
Oh, my God. That was horrible. Horrible.
What?
I want to get back to what she's talking about here.
What I'm talking about, Mr. Bell, is still...
No, you made some very, very... You made a very choice accusation. You said you threw a 50-cent piece on the ground. My waitress bends over to pick it up. And you say she's not wearing underwear.
That's what I said. I didn't look like underwear to me.
Well, what did it look like?
It looked like her rear end. I know what a rear end looked like. I know what a woman's rear end looked like. And it does. And a rear end looked like a rear end. The only thing underwear looked like is something to cover a rear end.
Yeah, it looked like a cover a rear end.
Oh, God, if you don't shut up, I'm going to come over there. And I swear to God, I will bag you, I'll wrap you, I'll tag you. I'll stick an apple in your ass.
I need the language, okay, to calm down.
I'm very sorry.
You're going to bag me and put an apple in my ass.
Yeah, any takers? You.
Phil, if this woman is saying what I think she's saying...
Yeah, what do you think I'm saying? I spent 10 minutes saying it.
I think she's saying...
She threw a 50-cent piece on the floor.
Yeah.
The woman bent over to pick it up, and she wasn't wearing underwear.
Right. Is that what she's saying?
That's what I've been saying. Boy, you're sharp.
Well, I don't recall ever giving any instruction to any except for one. Okay, yeah.
Well, what are you telling me?
There was one time. It was we were having an after-hours party, and the girls were changing very quickly, and it's very possible.
Yeah, but see, I never made a big thing out of it, you know.
But you're calling the talk show, and you're telling everybody about it. Well, I saw that too, Miss Bell. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Who are you? My name's Robert Lennon.
Robert usually works for me. What are you doing? Why aren't you here working for me?
All right.
Will you all get your ass over to Mr. Henry? Go on the radio station now.
What?
Get your ass over to the radio station now. God, I hate you. I hate you so very much.
I'm not trying to go over there.
You know, and that's another thing. I had Robert with me tonight that I flipped the 50-cent piece on the ground, and he looked like he was going to wrestle a woman for it. I said, you are a dumbass. I said, I threw that on the ground so that lady would pick it up. And I said, you look like you're going to go wrestle her for it.
I said, 50 cent piece.
Looks like it was mine.
Get your ass out the door. Go to radio station.
No.
So he almost grabbed it, huh?
You're saying your nephew did?
That's right. I come over to your restaurant. I threw the 50 cent piece to Robert going wrestling people for it.
I didn't put the 50. Gotta get on that friend.
If you don't get out that door right now, get your ass on the Metro Rail, get your ass over to the radio station, I swear I'm going to impale you on the picket fence outside. I'm going to decorate the house early for Halloween, and you're going to be the jack-o'-lantern with your big, fat, black ass. How do you like that?
Hey! Woo!
That's right. That's right.
All right, look, I can't deal with this anymore. I appreciate it very much, you calling. I don't know what we've been able to accomplish.
Well, what she's done is she's defamed my restaurant.
I have not done any such thing, sir. I simply said that... Well, you know what I said.
Yeah, we know what you said. Thank you very, very much.
Is that it?
That's it. Thank you. 877-876-PHIL. We'll get Ted Bell back on the line here, bud. So, do you recall at any time in the... Ted, do you recall at any time this happening in your restaurant?
I never, ever, ever had anybody complain to me about this. It's possible, I know the night she's talking about... That there was a, as I said, we were having an after-hours party. There was a lot of quick changing going on. We were having a costume party. We were trying to close the restaurant. Maybe somebody forgot to put underwear on. So sue me.
Well, this is one of your servers.
All right, it's one of my servers. And what's this lady coming in with a 50-cent piece for? That's the part that I don't like.
All right, let's go to Austin in Lancaster, California. Austin, you're on the Phil Henry Show here with Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Go ahead.
Yeah, Phil, I'm enjoying your program as always, and I wanted to say to Mr. Bell, I've been listening to you on the show many times, and thank you very much for taking my phone call.
Absolutely.
My question is having to do with the hors d'oeuvres, or not hors d'oeuvres, the appetizer plate that you sell on game night, on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, we do the appetizer. Yeah, basically there's the small weenies.
Okay, are they called cocktail franks?
I believe they are. We have cocktail. We have regular franks. We do have a cocktail frank.
All right. So a cocktail frank is, how long is that? How big is that?
Well, a cocktail frank is probably nothing more than maybe a couple inches long.
Okay, so that pretty much verifies that. All right. I guess I better inform you now that I do intend to sue you, sir. And
why?
Why? Why are you going to sue him?
What for?
Because someone told me to go home and... Someone said to me to go home and get out my cocktail frank.
All right, okay, hold on. Someone made a disparaging reference to you and a cocktail frank.
Yes, and that happened at this man's restaurant.
Wait a second. Was it a staff member?
Sir, it was you.
It was. What do you mean it was me?
It was you. You told me I'd been complaining. I said that I told you that you run out of hot dogs, and you said, yeah, I see that. And I said, well, can you get some more? And you said,
oh, I remember you. You were the guy who was going back 4, 5, 6, 7 times for hot dogs. How many did you eat that night?
You said it was all-you-can-eat hot dogs. Remember that?
Yeah, I said it was all-you-can-eat. I didn't know you were going to come back and eat 6 or 7 of them. Come on.
And you know, Ted, this is a problem that you have, though.
Whoa. Hold the phone. What do you mean a problem? This guy is going to sue me.
Yes, sir. I'm going to sue you, and the reason why I'm going to sue you is because you made a reference to me, a disparaging reference to me, in front of my friends. You said to go home and paddle my, you know, I'll just use the CF. You said to go home and pull the CF out and do a paddling on it.
That doesn't sound like me.
Oh, yes, it does.
Oh, hey, pal, you're supposed to back me up, number one. Number two, you ate like 9 hot dogs that night. At some point, decency dictates that someone steps between you and the hot dog cart. Was there a problem with that? Did you feel that I was out of line?
If you call it all-you-can-eat hot dog, sir, then that's what you do. I'm a big man. You saw me.
Yeah, I saw you, all right. See, here's the problem that I got, Phil, and I've had this problem for a long time. Every time I come on your program, I get your listeners in my restaurant. Now, there's nothing wrong with that.
He's gonna start to knock me, Phil.
And hold on for a minute. Let me say something.
Hold on there, Austin.
I knew he was going to do this.
Will you hold on and let me say something?
I knew you were going to do it, though. Because you told me that I was big, and you said, well, look at this big boy.
Will you hold on for a minute and let me say something?
Hold on and let him talk, okay?
You said I was a big boy.
Will you hold on? Please!
What, are you going to cry?
I'm just asking to hold the hell on. You came in with your friends, right? Were you the guys, a bunch of carpenters or something?
That's right.
See, they wanted me to park their truck, too.
Ted, if you come on my show, if you come on any show, if you're advertising to the public...
Well, I thought the prices that we had on our menus were high enough to keep out, and I don't mean keep out, I shouldn't say that.
Well, see, there you go. You're always admitting to this kind of, it's an elitist thing you've got going on there.
No, it's not elitist. Well, you learn a word and you beat it to death, don't you? Elitist. Okay.
You sure you're not listening to another show?
I don't know, but what I'm telling you is this guy comes in and he's got his friends. Okay, great, fine. They go into the bar, they're watching the ball game, and this was last year, wasn't it? No, sir, this was a preseason game in last month. Oh, okay.
All right, so it was like one of the NFL games.
Yes, sir. And I had the hot dogs, and, you know, we have all you can eat. Okay, yes, it's called all you can eat, all right? Yes, it is, all right? Nobody, and I mean nobody, ever sees or hears of all you can eat and takes it literally. No one. No one in the history of the world. And
then what does it mean when you say all you can eat?
Yeah, what's it mean if you say all you can eat? If you say all you can eat, it means you go and have a bunch and then get full and stop eating. But you... see, that's what he's doing too, Mr. And he started to get all emotional when he was talking to me.
What do you mean all emotional?
No, I didn't.
Hold on, Ted. What do you mean all emotional?
When I said to him, you know, I'm coming back for a hot dog, he's all, oh, please don't do it. He's bawling like a woman. And no, I was not bawling like a woman. I said to you, would you please stop? Have the common decency to stop. And he ate, and he ate, and he ate. And I said, and that's when I said, maybe we ought to get out some cocktail franks. You're probably familiar with those. And he said to me something like, no, I don't know what they are. I said, well, you handle one, you handle at least one every day. That's as insulting as it got. You call that insulting? Did you got to call this show to figure out what that is? I didn't know what it was.
Wait a minute. Ted, first of all, Ted, to a customer, you have a way of being a real smartass, all right?
Well, no, I don't have a way of being a smartass.
Now, hold on for a minute. Yes, you do. If you say all you can eat hot dogs, the guy comes in, he's going to eat all you can eat hot dogs, especially a big guy if he's hungry. Working outside all day? Come on, man. Secondly, what is it with you? Do you know what a cocktail frank is? You handle one at least once a day.
Yeah.
All right, so that's an insulting remark.
But this idiot didn't even know. Hey, watch it. Okay.
Wait. Now, I want to ask you something, Austin. Did you know what a cocktail frank was?
No, sir.
And so how many weeks has it been?
It's been about 3 weeks.
So for 3 weeks, you've been wondering what he meant by a cocktail frank.
Yes, sir. Then I went to the store, and the young lady said, can you tell me if you have cocktail franks? She said, yes, we do. I went over, I looked at a jar of them, and I went, you're going to come see me? What, are you going to beat me up? No, I wasn't going to beat you up. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to sue you. For slather, or how they call it, slather? What do you mean, slather?
You mean slander?
Yes, sir.
Well, it's not really slander. It's an insult. You know, it's an insult, but it's not really slanderous. Slander would be something publicly alleged by Mr. Bell, like on our broadcast airwaves, like tonight.
Yeah, if I said, which I'm not going to say, but if I said that you had a CF... Well, I wish you'd just go. Yeah, tonight. Didn't you mean I could sue him?
Yeah, well, in a lot of ways, yeah, you could. But although I have to tell you, now you're willingly engaging him in this debate, and a judge may see a lot of. He may read a lot of stuff into that.
Yeah. See, you would have been better off if you kept your big mouth shut. You would have been better off if you keep your big mouth shut. You're lucky I didn't come see you. Because I'd have come see you, then I'd solve my problems a different way. All right, that's a physical threat. You're a witness, Henry. That's a physical threat, and you're a witness.
All right, guys, come on, calm down, okay?
I'm not saying I'll do it. I said I probably should have. That's a physical threat, and you're a witness. All right, Henry, you're a witness.
I heard you already. We'll take a break. We'll be back. So Ted Bell said to this guy who was eating too many hot dogs at his Monday night all-you-can-eat hot dog thing, why don't you go home and have your cocktail, Frank? All right, we'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. 877-876-PHIL. Our news and information hour coming up next hour.
Radio for Patriots, by Patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
I know what you said. I know what you meant.
The Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
You're on.
No, I would like to talk. Everybody come to Ted's Beverly Hills. I am being sued by one of Phil's white trash.
That's not going to endear you to anybody.
Would you mind not talking over my commercial? All right, who do I talk to about getting a replay on my commercial? Because you stepped all over it.
You know, Ted, you're treating this hour as if it's all my fault.
Well, you brought up at the very beginning of this hour, you brought up that one of my chefs cooked the prime rib to the point where it was black like charcoal.
You used those words. I didn't. All I said was you said you had a problem with one of your chefs. That's all I said.
No. Oh, horse dung. Ask that guy. Ask Dickman.
Yeah, you did, Mr. Henry.
Well, you know what? Asking Bud is like you might as well just ask a minor bird. He'll say anything you want him to say. For a cookie.
What are you talking about?
I'll give you your cookie later, okay, Dickman? The point is that you had started the hour talking about how we had a problem with the chef, didn't you?
Yes.
Okay.
That's the far cry from saying he cooked the prime rib till it was black.
Well, what's the point? If I'm on your show and I'm doing an advertisement for an hour, okay, and I'm paying for it, you coming on and talking about, oh, by the way, here you had a... You know, I really love your restaurant, Ted. Too bad people got ptomaine poisoning over there.
No, wait a second, man. I never said anything like that.
Well, you might as well. What's the difference between that and...
Might as well. I said that one guy overcooked a prime rib, and that's the same thing as saying people are being poisoned.
What's the difference, okay? If I say, and this show is brought to you by Ted's of Beverly Hills, a great restaurant, too bad people died from botulism there last Friday night. What's the difference?
There's a big difference between what I said, Ted.
Really? What is it?
What I said was you had a chef, and I understand you had a problem. You had an apprentice chef. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. We could have turned that into a positive. We could have said, wow, your two top-line chefs were out. You had an apprentice chef in there, and I don't know.
Yeah, you don't know is right, because there is no way of turning into a positive the fact that the kid cooked it cold black. And
well, there you go. You're saying it.
I'm just picking up on your cue. And then I have to listen to two callers, one of whom said she throws a 50-cent piece to see whether they're wearing underwear, and the other guy wants to sue me because I mentioned cocktail pranks. Thank you. Well, what a great... I had a great time, folks. Thanks a lot.
Ted?
Oh, I'm done. I'm not even going to hang the phone up. I'm putting it down on the floor.
All right. We'll be back for the Henry Show.
Henry.
I am finished.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And I do apologize if you've been with us from the very beginning tonight. We got thrown a little bit of a curveball. We had a technical problem that we were able to sort out within the first 20 minutes. And the show just sort of catapulted and somersaulted along after that, Bud.
Yeah, Mr. Bell, he's threatening to sue.
You know what? Do I care?
Why wouldn't you care?
Do I look like I care whether Ted Bell wants to sue me? Do I look like I care whether that guy who called the show tonight threatened to sue him for a stupid reason?
Yeah, see, how can you say that stupid? That guy called a cocktail friend.
Yeah, that's slander, or however they say it.
No, it ain't slander. You know, slander doesn't cover just regular insults. And to say a guy, yeah, why don't you go home and play with your cocktail, Frank? I mean, give me a break. But the problem with Ted is, you know, when that guy called up and threatened to sue him, then Ted turns that into a big rigmarole. And the next thing you know, we got now we got competing lawsuits. That guy, Ted's going to sue him?
Yeah, you want to know the guy's name? Say I got to sue him for saying, he said he got to sue him for calling up saying the guy said cocktail, Frank.
Well, what's so funny?
Are you nuts? What's so funny? First of all, Ted's problem with the guy was that the guy ate too many hot dogs. Now, Ted Bell ought to know better. If he puts a sign that says all you can eat, and it's in a bar, and it's a Monday night, and even if it's a preseason football game, there's plenty of guys going to go in and want to watch the preseason game. Now you got all you can eat.
Now it turns out he's not serious about all you can eat, and he's keeping some dude, some big construction guy, from going back and getting his ninth hot dog. If you said all you can eat, then that's what you mean.
Yeah, but that's a figure of speech.
What do you mean a figure of speech, man?
What do you mean a figure of speech? If the guy said it, he means it.
Do you think a stop sign is a figure of speech?
Well, that's the legal definition.
But do yourself a big favor and just clam up for 5 seconds, okay? The legal definition. If a guy says all you can eat, it means all you can eat. This guy goes in to get a hot dog. He has an extra hot dog or two or three, and there's Ted ready to get into it with the guy. Hey, man, you're eating too many hot dogs. And then he insults the guy by telling him to go home and play with his cocktail, Frank.
Yeah, well, that guy was pretty stupid, though.
Yeah, he had to go to a supermarket and get the definition.
Well, there you go. I mean, birds of a feather flock together, man. You know?
What?
Birds of a feather flock. You never heard that? In any event, that guy was such an idiot, he had to go to the supermarket and ask to see a cocktail, Frank, and when they showed it to him, and that was weeks later, right?
Yeah, it took him like 3 weeks to get around to it.
I'm telling you, those two guys are made for each other. Ted Bell and that dude, Austin Amarca, they're made for each other. Well, welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. All kinds of news, and not any of it the least bit interesting. Not the least bit interesting. Do you really want to hear about how job growth has stalled again? Do you want to hear that? Do you want to hear about that, huh? Do you want to worry about that? Do you want to obsess over that? Do you want to flip out and freak out and all that other out? U.S. employment growth ground to a halt in August. Since when was there any employment growth? There hasn't been any good news, and by that I mean, I'm not saying that President Obama hasn't had good news. I'm saying that not only has he not had good news, but even if he had good news, there'd be somebody saying it was bad news. For the first time in nearly a year, the economy failed to create new jobs on a net basis, according to the Labor Department's monthly non-farm payroll survey on Friday. Let me give you the bottom line on all of this. I can give you numbers. Let me give you the bottom line. The bottom line is as follows. It's impossible, ladies and gentlemen, to go through the kind of economic contraction that the government that our country is going through without it hurting. It's impossible. It's impossible. We've been wanting it not to hurt. We try to come up with this job plan and that job plan. We try to come up with this way to bail it out that way. It's impossible for these things not to hurt. It's got to hurt. Otherwise, it's not a recession. Otherwise, it's just this weird bunch of graphs. It's not affecting me. Do you still have a job? Oh, yeah. Well, then I guess it doesn't mean anything. It's a bunch of charts, right? Yes. I don't want this recession to hurt. It's going to hurt. And we talk a lot about jobs and stuff, and this is coming from a guy. I'm telling you right now, this is coming from a guy, Phil Hendry, who had to, in this recession that for me began back in 2007, I had to start my own business. I had to hire my own people. I had to do my own merchandising. I've had to do a lot of things. This is how it's changed my life. And if you think that I don't know what it's like to be out of a job, as I said on the show a number of times, I've been in the unemployment line plenty of times. I've been in the unemployment line probably more than a lot of people because I've simply lived longer. So I don't need any lectures from anybody on anything when it comes to being hungry, when it comes to being out of a job, when it comes to having to retool, when it comes to having to adapt, when it comes to having to, find a new way to do business. I've had to do the whole thing. Now, you either do it or you sit there and you make a full-time job out of bitching and moaning about it. And that's what a lot of people are doing. They're making a full-time job out of it. It's like an 8-hour day job for some people to bitch and moan about what's going on with the country and the economy. They're called talk show hosts. Ah!
I knew you were going to say that.
Well, economists had expected non-farm employment to rise 75,000 last month, but they cautioned against viewing the data as a surefire sign of recession. Blah, 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 blah. Worsening debt crisis in Europe, an acrimonious political fight over the U.S. government budget and debt. How long do you want to put up with the acrimonious political fight? How long do you want to be manipulated by, dare I say, a-holes? How long do you want that to happen, huh? How long do you want to keep on keeping on with whatever silly little thing it is? And forgive me for saying this, whatever silly little thing. I read the tweets of a very popular conservative radio station here on the West Coast. They're on Twitter. Every single solitary thing they tweet has to do with how Obama's a piece of crap and how, this, that. The language, it isn't so much they don't like Obama. I understand people don't like Obama. That's fine. But the language is so explosive that these bloodsuckers now want people to become so emotionally upset that they are addicted to the next piece of information that they get from this particular radio station. And they're all over the country, these stations. So they begin to characterize him not just in terms of his policies are bad, but he himself is a bad person. Now that is over the line. I don't give a damn what anybody thinks they know. That's well over the line. That hurts the country. If you don't like what the guy does, if you don't like his policies, that's fine. But when you start, when that's not enough for somebody, when they got to turn around and say, and he's a bad guy, and he's just, he's a this and he's a that. That Michelle Malkin, she's the number one criminal when it comes to that. That's right. You heard me say it, man. She can't sell a book. She can't get her face on a TV show. She can't get her ass out there for love or for money unless she is, crucifying this guy. In the worst possible terms. Folks, we're going to have political differences, but this country and this particular generation of Americans is such a bunch of simple-minded bastards. All we know how to do is panic. That's the number one product of this generation. We panic our asses off. Oh, my God. Look what he's doing now. And it's all going to be hunky-dory, huh, if we stick a Republican in there in 2012? I got big fat news for you. No, it ain't. Because the problem with the country is beyond Republican or Democrat. It has to do with the actual stuff that the American people are made of.
Man, you ought to run for president yourself, man.
Yeah.
Are you nuts?
No, stuff you're saying is good. The people need to hear about it.
Yeah, I would be your campaign manager. I mean, I'm probably not the best thing.
No.
Yeah, do it, because got people not say, to say the stuff what you say.
No, I ain't going to run for president. Are you crazy? Are you out of your mind? And I have more respect for the office than a lot of people. I wouldn't run for president not because it's beneath me, but because I ain't good enough for it. The office of the president is not a job that we should look at as being a job for a crook. You know, and that's the other thing. Some people think so highly of them. Oh, I wouldn't run for president. Why is that? I'm too honest. Oh, are you really? Employment was dampened by 45,000 striking workers at Verizon. I mean, it's a depression. If you want to call it something, it's a depression without the breadlines. It's a bad economic situation. Is there a way that we can get ourselves up and out of this without going to war, for instance? As if you want to make the comparison between this and the World War II and the Great Depression. And the fact of the matter is, yeah, you don't have to go through a freaking war to get yourself out of economic bad times. It's cyclical more than anything else. It's people finally loosening the money up and saying, I'm tired of sitting on my ass and doing nothing. Let's go out and start to spend this money we got and let's start building something. It happens from the top down. And I don't mean government down. I mean the top down. Because right now what they're doing is holding on to their money. All the guys that could start businesses, could employ people, could get industries revved up again, they don't want to because they're unsure of the climate out there. They're unsure of the economic times, whether or not they're going to be making a wise investment right now. Sooner or later, the money will loosen up because these guys, the one thing they don't like is sitting on their ass doing nothing. And one guy does it, then another guy does it. And that's just the way it's going to have to be. And they're whatever it is these governments are trying to do with the debt in Europe, that will also be solved by more people working, tax base, producing, etc. But right now, everybody is sucking their thumbs.
better than some things.
Is that right?
What are you talking about, man? You trying to be smart again?
Just never mind. Sitting on the sidelines, sucking their thumb. Everybody. And if we're not sucking our thumbs, we're throwing a temper tantrum. There you go. That's America. That's the world that we're in right now. And the last thing that I'm going to trust is any jackass telling me that he's a liberal or a conservative or he has all the answers and all we got to do is get rid of Barack Obama, George Bush, Republicans, Tea Party, liberals, progressives. Anybody that starts talking that crap to me, man, they can take a walk. Goodbye. All right, we're going to be back with information. Now, here's some, you talk about the whether or not the economy's up or down. What about Billy Joe's pants, man? That's right, the lead singer of Green Day. Now, I bet you could track something economically with this guy's pants. We'll be back to talk about it and more on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. For patriots, by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. And online at philhendryshow.com. If you get a backstage pass, you can watch our live streaming video of the show. As a matter of fact, if you'd been watching our live streaming video of the show this evening, you would have seen a panic mode. You would have seen not just a panic mode, you would have seen people suddenly go, wait a second, we have a problem, and then fix the problem as we worked through it. It was a regular, it was a veritable Apollo 13 here, bud.
Yeah, without the guys, you know, gonna blow up or nothing.
No, we weren't gonna blow up, but we got the problem fixed, and you would have seen that, as well as all of the other falderall that happens here behind the scenes on the Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL, and of course, if you go to our website, you will see the picture on our homepage, one that I'm showing to our subscribers right now. That is the logo of our show, one of our show logos, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, broadcasting from the El Pacifico. And get a backstage pass, and you will watch live streaming video. You'll have access to our archives, access to our podcasts, access to our classic Phil podcast, access to our news feed, access to our webisodes, access to our rants. There's a lot of stuff happening at philhendryshow.com. Green Day frontman Billy Joe Armstrong says his sagging pants cost him a seat on a Southwest Airlines flight. Well, that means we'd have to believe you now, Billy Joe, wouldn't we? Let's find out here. The singer-guitarist for the San Francisco Bay Area-based band sent a message to his Twitter followers on Thursday. That always gives people on the other side of the argument a chance to, you know, even the playing field. Hi, I'm Billy Joel. Billy Joel, and I got 9 million followers, and here's what happened.
Did Billy Joel?
Billy Joe. I misspoke. Anyway, he sent a message to his Twitter followers on Thursday expressing his indignation at being tossed from an Oakland to Burbank flight for wearing his trousers too low. An ABC 7 News producer who was on the same flight told the station that a flight attendant approached Armstrong before takeoff and asked him to hike his pants higher. The producer, Cindy Q, says when Armstrong insisted he was just trying to get to his seat, he and a traveling companion were taken off the plane. Southwest spokesman Brad Hawkins says in a statement that Armstrong was allowed to board the next flight. What's missing from that story?
What do you mean?
What's missing from the story? Green Day singer Billy Joe was taken off the plane because, first of all, he was approached, the singer-guitarist, according to a ABC 7 news producer, and when I say ABC 7, that would be a San Francisco Channel 7 news producer who was there. So we're getting all the information from her and from Billy Joe. And Cindy Q says, when Armstrong insisted he was just trying... Wait a second. Could you please pull your pants higher? I'm just trying to get to my seat. He and the companion were taken off the plane. What's missing?
There's a whole lot of information in between.
Exactly. When a flight attendant says to you, could you pull your pants up? Excuse me, I'm just trying to get to my seat. And then you're taken off the plane. There's a whole lot of information that's missing. And news producer Cindy Q of ABC 7, she ain't helping because she as sure as hell isn't telling us anything, is she? I think she just wants to get free tickets to the next Green Day show.
Yeah, I was going to say, man, that's exact. She wants to get in time with Billy Joel.
Yeah, probably wants to be one of his bitches or something.
You don't know that's the case. Be one of his bitches. So he and a traveling companion were taken off the plane. And then he went and he tweeted his indignation. All right, so he was taken off the plane. Why? According to who? Well, he says his sagging pants. Now, he was asked to pull his pants up. He said he was just trying. He notice he didn't say no. He says he was just trying to get to his seat. And then they said, get off the plane. Here's what I think happened. And why they won't tell you this, I don't know why. I think it's because Cindy Q is trying to be one of his bitches.
You said she would.
I'm kidding. All right, so anyway, here's what happened. Could you pull your pants up? No. Okay, get off the plane. I'm pissed off. I'm going to tweet it. That's what happened. Why can't they just say that?
Well, I mean, isn't that what they said?
No, they didn't say that. It says here, according to ABC News 7, that the guy was told to pull his pants up, and he said he was just trying to get to his seat. That's according to Cindy Q. He and a traveling companion, he insisted he was just trying to get... In other words, would you please take your... pull your pants up? No, no, no. I'm trying to get to my seat. That doesn't even have a... There's no logical connection between those two things. So, this guy's a liar. Cindy Q from Channel 7 is a liar. And I'll even go ahead and say that the airline, Southwest Airlines, a pain in the ass, too. I think all of you ought to grow up. How do you feel about that one? Fact of the matter is, the fashion statement of various generations has always been a point of controversy going all the way back. Well, when I was a kid, it was long hair and clothes, and they were always trying to get you to not do that and don't wear that and don't be that. Okay. And they're going to continue to do the same thing now. And airlines have the right to serve whoever they want to serve, just like restaurants do. And if they don't want to serve you, they don't have to serve your ass. I think it's something to be said for Billy Joe that he was taking Southwest, which means he's not exactly rolling in the bucks, or he doesn't want to look like he's rolling in the bucks. He took a Southwest airline flight, and then he holds up everybody with his pants hanging down around his ass.
Yeah, well, you don't know if that's the case. You don't even know if his pants was hanging down.
I don't know whether it's true or not. You're right. But nonetheless, there's information missing here, so I got to fill it up. And I fill the information. I fill in the blanks with the most logical possible thing. And the most logical possible thing is, would you pull your pants up? No, I will not. You're kicked off our flight. He took a later flight. Did he pull his pants up? It says he was allowed to board the next flight. Well, then he got kicked off the flight, he pulled his pants up, got on the next flight, and then flew back to wherever the hell it was he was going, and then he got on Twitter and got pissed off that he had to pull his pants up. Thank God it was just that, Billy. It's a good thing nobody said to you, would you mind wiping the next time you use the toilet, too?
Well, no, I insisted I...
Okay, I gotta throw you off another plane. World-famous Phil Hendry Show will be back.
Phil Hendry. Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. All right, what else? Earlier, we started out the show talking to, I forget the name of that program director, Bud, do you?
Yeah, I don't remember.
Anyway, he was a program director from Minnesota, and maybe he had a name that I'd rather forget. Anyway, he was talking to us about, his needs for his radio station. And how he's got all these great conservative or political shows. And I said to him at the time, I said, just because you're lazy or cheap, You can't hire local hosts, or you don't look for any other kind of radio, because what's being offered you in the syndicated world is garbage. Basically, it is, folks, with the exception of Rush, and I guess a lot of you like Sean. Okay, that's fine. Or whatever else. It's crap.
Well, I mean, how come there's so many people that listen to it?
Really? How many people are listening to it? As opposed to what they might be listening to if there was something else to offer them. And if there's so many people listening to it, folks, you know, you can be sold a bill of goods, and if you want to buy the bill of goods and you think it's for real, you go right ahead. Have at it. Be my guest. The fact of the matter is conservative radio doesn't pull, other than Rush Limbaugh and maybe one or two other people, it doesn't pull a big audience at all. But you're being told that it does. This is why you're being force-fed these shows. This is lazy. You know, but I'm not going to get any inside baseball, man, because, you know, what's the point? You know, what we do on our show is what we do on our show. We tell the truth, man. We say truth is our bitch. I ain't going to sit here and lie to you. I'm not going to pretend I'm something I'm not, which is what it's like. I did an interview with Kevin Pollak on his chat show, which is on the web. And I said, if there's one thing that I hate, it's talk radio. I hate it. I love radio, love doing radio, but talk radio, one of the reasons why I hate it is because it isn't real. It isn't real, and now, because the people that do it are so bloody stupid, now it's hurting the country in a lot of ways. When you, as I was saying, when you go from saying Obama's policies suck to Obama himself is a crook, a criminal, these kinds of characterizations, you are doing something that is not only hurting the country, it's hastening the country down the road to a real civil divide. You know what I'm talking about. If that's what you want. People are in this country, I've never seen so many self-righteous, sanctimonious jackasses in my life as these people. Either they're progressive or Tea Party. These people think they got the answer, huh? You got the answer to nothing, man. And when I take a look at somebody like me, you want to know why people laugh at Michelle Bachmann? She's an example. She's a perfect example of that sort of marvelous, blissed out stupidity that exists on either end of the political spectrum. People so stupid, it's a crime. And my God, we're going to run them for president? President! You take a look at poor Michelle Bachmann. I feel sorry for the lady. She's got more problems than anybody I've ever seen in my life. She got the migraine headaches, the husband who's in the closet. She has, it's proven she's got a problem telling the truth. She makes stuff up. Tim Pawlenty told her that during that debate. He said, you know, it's well known that you just make things up. And she does. She just makes it up, man. I never said that. Yes, you did. You want us to bust out the videotape? Do we have to do that? Follow you around with a videotape machine? Now, I don't want to lean on Michelle Bachmann because she's not going to get elected president of the United States. She won't get nominated by the Republican Party. She won't even make it to the convention as a front runner. But the fact that she has all of this early heat, she's got all of this early momentum, means that, boy, they're fresh out of ideas over there. Now we come to our president, a guy that I voted for. I think he's a good man. I think events have overtaken him. I think the creative and outside the box thinking that he said he wanted to entertain and to bring to Washington has either failed him or he's failed it. There just isn't any. And one of the problems that we're having in America today, folks, is that we don't have any real statesmen. If you look back at the history of our country, every generation you can point out people. Well, we used to talk about Ted Kennedy, all right, if you want. Barry Goldwater. Going back even further, these statesmen, these people that stood tall, Sam Rayburn, you know, and in the 19th century, the Stephen Douglases and so forth. So these are, I had a weird dream last night about Henry Clay. That, boy, that's, That was weird. But I was dreaming about Henry Clay, and I was arguing with someone. And I said, well, Henry Clay was a great American, but the fact of the matter is his ideas sucked, and so did he. And, he, you know, goodbye, Henry Clay. And I know most of you guys don't even know what the hell it is I'm talking about. Well, the point here is, where are the giants? There are none. Why? Well, I'll tell you why. Because there's no guts. All the guts is over in Iraq and Afghanistan. That's where all of America's guts are. Those young men and those young women. Those are the best people we got. And they're thousands of miles from this place called America. No guts. Nobody wants to stand out front and center and say this is wrong. No one on the left wants to turn around and look at people in their party and their particular faction and say, you know, you people are really, you got your head up your ass. And nobody on the right wants to do that. They don't want to look back at their people and say, you know something, we got to be kidding with some of the stuff we're pitching. There's no guts. No courage. And so that's why we're at this impasse. Now, things get shaken loose, you're right. And you don't want to have something violent shaking it loose. If you have stupid people sending you down the road of civil strife with things like, you know, Obama is a, he's a low-moraled, unprincipled, you know, this kind of hateful talk, which is based in nothing. Nothing. And the same thing on the other side. When they had the fangs on John McCain. You remember. That takes us down a path that leads to nothing but pain for the country. And I'm talking about more than just arguing. Now, the reason why we do it is because there isn't anybody in this country that reads history, so we don't know that these are the things that cause these problems, and so we do them again, and like the idiots that we are, and guess what? So, I mean, I'm giving you the truth, you know? Now, you may want to hear all that happy bullcrap that the rest of those clowns talk about. Man, I'm not into that at all. You may want to have your feelings soothed with a lot of anti-Obama talk, or you may want to have your feelings soothed with a lot of anti-Republican, anti-fascist pig talk, but I ain't about that because that's horse dung. Even the people that spill that stuff know they're lying. Oh, they know that maybe it's some kind of a soma, you know, that the audience out there in radio land, they'll suck on that long enough and it'll put them to sleep. We ain't going to do that here. So, that's the state that we're in right now, all right? And if you think that talk radio is going to solve some problem by telling you the truth, do yourself a favor. Take it from Phil. You ain't getting any truth here. You get it from me. But I'm not a Tea Party guy, and I ain't a progressive. I'm me, you know. You're going to flip on the radio and listen to some of these jive-ass trying to, you think you're getting the truth from them? Come on. Anyway, that's where my my industry is right now. So our show, doing what we do, which is a satirization, which is a theatrical presentation, which is, you know, I don't know what we want to call it, bud.
Yeah, it's like being in a movie theater.
Being in a movie theater, well, you know.
Not a movie theater, but like a live theater.
Right. Our show is, we took it out to the weird edge of things because, man, there was nowhere else to go. I ain't going to do what those guys are doing, so we are like out on the weird edge. A 24-year-old Cincinnati father died from a tooth infection. Where the hell did you get this?
There's a story here. Look at this. Guy had a toothache and he croaked.
Yeah, man, you gotta brush your teeth.
What do you mean brush your teeth?
You don't brush your teeth, look what happened.
This is more than brushing his teeth. This guy had a tooth infection. He died from a tooth infection this week because he couldn't afford his medication, offering a sobering reminder of the importance of oral health and the number of people that access to dental or health care. Oh, really? According to NBC affiliate WLWT, Kyle Willis's wisdom tooth started hurting 2 weeks ago. When dentists told him it needed to be pulled, he decided to forgo the procedure because he was unemployed and had no health insurance. When his face started swelling and his head began to ache, Willis went to the emergency room where he received prescription for antibiotics and pain medications. Willis couldn't afford both, so he chose the pain medications. The tooth infection spread, causing his brain to swell. He died Tuesday. Calls to Willis's family were not immediately returned. University Hospital in Cincinnati, where Willis was admitted, did not comment, citing federal privacy laws. Well, here's another one of these stories, and I'm not getting all the information. This is a story that was written for a specific reason. And the reason is the importance of oral... Oh, listen to this. A sobering reminder of the importance of oral health and the number of people without access to dental or health care. The importance of oral health. The guy had a wisdom tooth that had to come out. This got nothing to do with brushing your teeth. Just has to do with going to the dentist. Now, how does he know he had a wisdom tooth that had to come out? Because he went to the dentist. The dentist told him. Willis's story is not unique. In 2007, 12-year-old Damont Driver also died when a tooth infection spread to his brain. The Maryland boy underwent two operations and 6 weeks of hospital care, totaling $250,000. Doctor said a routine $80 tooth extraction could have saved his life. His family was uninsured and had recently lost its Medicaid benefits, keeping DeMont from having dental surgery. Well, then how did they get the $250,000 to have the dental? You know, look, I understand that health insurance is expensive. Sooner or later, though, you're going to the hospital and you're getting treatment. This boy had $250,000 worth of surgery and health care. Okay, now, what are you telling me? Getting access to dental care is particularly tough for low-income adults and children. It's getting tougher as the economy worsens. In April, the Kaiser Family Foundation reported 33% of people surveyed skipped dental care or dental checkups because they couldn't afford them. A 2003 report by the U.S. Surgeon General found that 108 million Americans had no dental insurance, nearly 2.5 million, or 2.5 times the number who had no health insurance. Trips to the dentist aren't the only expenses hard-up Americans are skipping, and a bunch of other bad news. I don't want to be a jackass, but the guy went to the dentist.
Yeah.
Okay. He went to the dentist, right?
Yeah.
All right. He went to the dentist, and he got x-rays.
Yeah.
Well, what did he go to the dentist for?
Because he had to have a checkup.
All right. So he goes to the dentist, and he gets a checkup. That's got to be paid for, right?
Well, yeah, but not as much a tooth extraction.
Well, wait a minute, man. He's getting x-rays. He's getting an exam. This costs money. It's not cheap. Is he paying that out of pocket?
I guess, yeah.
And then comes the wisdom tooth surgery, and suddenly it's too expensive. So he decides he won't get the surgery. This is what I'm led to believe.
But yeah, that's what they're saying. He went to the dentist, and they said he got to have wisdom teeth out.
He went to the dentist. He had the money for the dentist. He had the money for the x-rays. He had the money for this visit. Now he's not going to get the surgery because he can't afford it. Instead, he just lets it go. Are we talking not only are we talking the fact the man's not rich enough to have the surgery? Is he mentally deficient?
What do you mean?
Well, what do you think I mean? You're told you got to have wisdom teeth out. You went to the dentist, you got that. Now the guy says, wow, man, my head hurts, my face swells, but I can't afford to get the thing. I can't afford to have the surgery. Now the head, this guy is in deeper trouble. Now he goes to the hospital to get antibiotics. He's given antibiotics and whatever else they said, anti-swelling medication, which I'm sure someone somewhere is going to blame the hospital because they didn't take his damn tooth out. He couldn't afford both, so he chose the pain medication. I'm telling you, the news, when you get the news, you got to look into it because you don't get the whole story, and there's something wrong with this story. Once again, there's something I'm not being told. And you know what else I think is involved here?
What?
I think this guy's, I think there are a lot of guys, I know who they are too, that are afraid of the dentist.
No, a man, he's not going to let himself die.
He's not going to let himself die, huh? If you had a wisdom tooth that was about ready to blow your freaking head off of your shoulders, are you going to go to a dentist and say, I got to get this wisdom tooth out. I am in agony. I am in pain. Please, somebody help me. Would you please do that? What was the hospital told? What did the hospital x-ray? What did he say it's just a toothache? Did they examine him? A million and one things that we haven't been told, but this story was written by ABC News, And there's only one way to read this story. ABC News says this is because he didn't have health insurance. So the fact that he was neglectful is because he didn't have health insurance. The fact that he put off visits to the doctor is because he didn't have health insurance. The fact that he waited until the thing got infected and almost exploded his head, that's because he doesn't have health insurance. The fact that he went to the dentist, he had it examined, he had it diagnosed, he had x-rays taken, that's because he doesn't have health insurance? All right, we'll be back at the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. So, let's see. We have the NAB that's going to be coming up. I would love to sit there in front of all those guys at the NAB and just tell them to take their freaking NAB and stick it.
Man, you all you're going to try to do is get people pissed off at you.
Well, what's wrong with that?
You got to go there and make friends with people.
Oh, yeah. That's been a real big winner for me. Make friends with people, huh?
You do, man. You gotta play the game.
You do, man. You gotta play the game. You gotta get along with people. You know, you go up there and tell them to stick it. Man, they run you out of town on a rail.
Run me out of town on a rail? What difference does it make? I mean, haven't you always wanted to? There's that cartoon, and I love it. It's the most fantastic cartoon I think I've ever seen. I think it's the funniest cartoon I've ever seen. There's a guy standing on another guy's desk. And he is urinating on the guy behind the desk.
Oh, I know this one.
Yeah.
You know the one?
Yeah, I think so.
He's standing on the desk, and he's urinating all over the guy sitting at the desk. And the guy sitting at the desk looks up at him, and he says, "I take it you won the lottery, Johnson." Meaning, obviously, the guy has all this money, and he has just hit it big, and he doesn't need this job anymore, you know. Well, of course, that's the fantasy that a lot of people have, and people, you shouldn't have that fantasy. You should really love what you do. Well, I love what I do. I love doing radio. I love it. Love it, love it, love it, love it, love it. But like the guy in the war movie who hates officers, you know, pick a war movie, any war movie, I hate officers too. But here's the thing. You guys are right about one thing. I ain't going to be the schmuck that carries the banner anymore.
You see, that's the problem. You've been all trying to be all, the radio business, we got to save it. Who cares?
You're right about that, bud. You're right. I'll tell you one thing, man. You have been right about that all along. You know, you were the guy that said to me, "What am I sticking my neck out for?" And you're absolutely right. I ain't going to stick my neck out for nobody anymore, man. Just me, you, and Baby Makes Three.
Yeah. And, man, you go down there and tell those guys to stick it, man, they're going to hear that. That's for sure. And you damn sure better not say anything to one guy about how he listens to your podcast.
No, I'm not going to say anything to him. I'm not going to say anything to him.
But you keep bringing it up.
I won't say a word, okay?
Yeah, you said you saw that guy's picture?
I saw his picture, man. I was on the NAB site, and I was looking at all of the, you know, the principals and the different panels they're going to have, and I saw that guy's picture. I go, "There's that guy."
Yeah, you can't say nothing to them. Just go back there, do the best you can.
Yeah, bring back a lot of them little tiny bottles of booze.
Bring back the tiny bottles of booze from the airplane?
No, from the minibar. It's the only thing you can do. You want to do me a favor? Want to do him a favor? Want to do yourself a favor? Bring back a little bottle of booze.
Yeah.
All right, I'll do it. See you guys on Monday. Tomorrow night is our KFI show right here, the Phil Hendry Show. Watch us on Phil TV in HD at philhendryshow.com. And, of course, our marvelous radio network across the country. Check us out again starting Monday night. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, produced by Phil Hendry, Dan Northcraft, Fred Scotty, Chris Johnson. Until then.
See you then.
See you then.
Phil Hendry.